Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySgirls through December 31. The only loan I will approve is the one that credits my deep thoughts. Leave me alone. I know it's not good. I'm not operating at full capacity. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
I'm thinking about mine.
I've heard the altitude is something to consider when going to Big Bear, but it's not as high as me, baby.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls. We are literally doing a midnight recording here on Friday night.
It's 3 in the morning.
It is, in fact, 3 in the morning. It's our usual 2:45 a.m. in every single goddamn time zone. Did I say it's Andy's Girls? It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 581-ish, and Lord, have I had an interesting 24 hours, which my guest knows all about. So we are going to get into it. Welcome back, content creator, host of the podcast High and Low, and fashion designer, CFDA winning, women's wear designer, lookout, Brooks Marks, because you haven't seen anything yet. Welcome back. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo. BBDB, how are we?
I am so good. We're going to have Sheree shaking in her boots by the time we're done.
You know what? There was a little bit of an energy here of fashion show with no fashions because we were figuring out some prototypes.
Spring, summer.
We were truly knee deep in spring summer. Excuse me. Oh my God.
Maybe September.
Words are hard.
We thought it was going to be September. We got it in.
We did. So we do have a special announcement before we get into what was a piping fucking hot episode of Orange County. So we had a conversation on Patreon a couple weeks ago that was kind of started by a deep dive of New Jersey, after which I sort of piqued my own curiosity and thought, let me go to James Leonard's website and noodle around.
Who is this man? What drives him? What's he about?
What drives him? What college did he go to? Where is his office located in whichever state? Because it's certainly not listed as
New Jersey.
That's
really what it was, because there were allegations of him being next to the meth lab and or the meth clinic, Marge. So it's like, what is this? So being Bravo people, we go, we look. What did you find?
We did look. I found an array of curiosities, a curio truly. And essentially what I found was this man is being brought onto the show as some sort of legal expert whose opinion should be trusted. He's saying he's a criminal defense lawyer, and his website is still using like whatever fucking WordPress theme. You know how there's that standard where it's all in Latin, which is just the placeholder language?
Gibberish, but there's a term for it, because I used to use that gibberish in a template until you're ready to like plug in your slick sheet information, and that's what he's got up there.
Right, and I've heard from so many AGs who are like, this is the name of the template, and I've of course forgotten.
I know, I'm forgetting it too, yeah.
But it was insane. His location was completely wrong. The bios for himself and the two other lawyers in the firm were identical, but also nonsensical. It made absolutely no sense and was just a genuinely wild and shocking ride. So I talked about it on AG Classic. I realized the next day when I went back, thank God I had taken some photos and screenshots, that he was trying to fix it, but he didn't know how, which was fascinating. So I shared more stuff on social. We did a Patreon exclusive episode just truly getting into the nitty gritty, during which you coined an expression that has stayed with me. And on the Patreon episode, we said to Patreon AGs, we have an idea for something. It is not a moneymaker. We are each going to be making potentially, if all goes well with math and et cetera, I think $2. So if you are interested in supporting us, you know, do all the other things.
This is not a financial win for us in any way.
We are trying to get ourselves out of the hole from doing this. So the success story for us would be if we break even. We just wanted to wear it.
I would have done it either way. I would have made one either way.
We would have done it either way. So what we have come up with is essentially an inspirational hoodie. And I will link in the show notes if you are interested in buying it. BBDB, can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind this hoodie theme?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, you got the yacht, we got the hoodie. So something we've been talking about. And it's an aspirational thing, but I also drafted a little bit of something here. It's an homage to the off-camera drama that caused what I think is one of the longest-running, strongest franchises in Bravo to implode before our very eyes. So to me, this once unrealized piece of fabric has now turned into something greater. You haven't listened to my dives yet, have you?
I haven't. This is new for me. This is new. I've been busy, okay, in the last 24 hours.
I know you have been. But anyway, so it pays homage to that. It's also a very niche inside joke, of course, always. And it, I think, also is a tribute to the hubris of man, is the way I see it. Because we have a man who's holding court, you know, and he's saying, I have all the answers. I'm going to enlighten you. We were not enlightened. And also the email is, if you need to reach him, Karen@example.com.
That's his contact email on this man's professional website.
Karen@example.com. The way I fell out. I fell out so hard. I remember it. I'll never forget where I was. I was in my pantry. I laughed so hard I had to sit down. And I said, I think there needs to be something that says, send it to Karen@example.com.
I mean,
that it was a need in the world.
Move over, Randall, honestly.
Yeah. And no, and you know what? I think it's poignant, though, that we priced it so low to really just break even. We will not be paying for a second home with these hoodies the way the Send It to Daryl hoodies provided.
No, I can't even afford a first one. I mean, maybe much like Lala. Let's see in a couple of years where she's at. But yeah, this is a true homage. It is inspired by what I consider to be among the single greatest merch drops, Lala's hoodie, which I am a proud owner of. It's the most comfortable thing I've ever worn. So for us to have a Send It to Karen at example.com hoodie, it's our first merch collab. We're very excited about it. Again, I cannot more highly state that this is not a means of financial support.
In no way. And it's also, yeah, and it's also bigger than Jersey. Yeah, to me, it's like almost a cautionary tale of what can happen when these Bravo celebrities start working their fingers into behind the scenes stuff and just how silly and chaotic it gets. And as Bravo fans, we're left to just try to piece together, like, what the hell is even happening here? So it's that for me, too.
It really, truly, I have one. You have one.
I have two.
You have two. I will post our little prototype on Instagram after this episode goes up. So probably expect a selfie on Instagram Sunday or Monday-ish from yours truly. But you can get the hoodies now. The link is in the show notes for this episode. It's also in the show notes for your most recent episode. And I am so happy to wear it. It will not make sense to anyone on the street, which brings
me perfect.
So much joy. That's my favorite kind of thing to wear. It's a conversation starter. It's a conversation. I better see people at BravoCon 2027, whenever that thing's coming back, which I can't wait for.
BravoCon 35, baby. I'm rocking it.
40, 64. I'm gonna need to see some motherfuckers in some Send It to Karen at example.com merch. I want people to buy it and then tag us on Instagram stories, the three people who may in fact buy this hoodie, and we are two of them. So that one AG to, because we had to buy, we're buying the hoodie. We're not like, you know, that's, we're, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not for, you know what I'm saying? To tag us on Instagram if and when you buy the hoodie and wear it, because this has truly been, this is,
oh yeah, we'll share pics if anybody does it. And no pressure, by the way. Again, we get nothing out of this. Do it for the joy in your heart.
Oh my God. No worries. This is not us this is us just saying we're asshole, sarcastic motherfuckers, and BBDB and Dame G over here just felt the need to create based on our own epic Patreon episode drag and the stuff that we had posted on Instagram stories about this prior when I did like a thorough deep dive of his website in absolute horror. So that's available now. So I know I've heard from Patreon AGs who listened to the Send It to Karen at example.com episode and were like, where's the hoodie? Where's the hoodie? Where's the hoodie? So the hoodie is here. It took us a second. It just took us a little second because we don't know what we're doing. And I also just have to say, before we get into the nitty gritty of New Jersey, of Orange County, you may notice if I fuck up a couple phrases more than usual. Case in point, me just suggesting that the newest franchise that we're about to discuss is the one that is dead in the water in Franklin Lakes. I did have a little bit of a medical situation yesterday that involved, you and I had been chatting and we're good pals and I die for you forever. And there was a certain point where I was like, ooh, I'm having a neuro episode. Oh, this is reminiscent of a prior neuro episode. I do not want this to happen. And then like when you're having a medical emergency, there's that moment where you're like, this isn't happening. And then there's the realization of like, this is happening and you can't handle this on your own. So you did have the pleasure of receiving a text message from me that said, I'm having a neuro episode. If you don't hear from me in 20 minutes, call 911. And then I said, oh, actually, LOL, in 10 minutes. And then during that 10 or so minute period of time, I realized I just simply needed to call 911. Also note, if you have a blood pressure sleeve or if you're someone who deals with chronic health or not, and you buy stuff so that you can use it as an emergency, learn from Auntie Sarah to make sure you know how to use those things. Because when I was laboring, trying not to have what felt like an incoming seizure alone in my apartment and was trying to like just focus on really, really calm breathing. I was looking for this blood pressure sleeve that I'd purchased forever ago upon doctor's suggestion, but I'd never opened the box. So I'm having a neuro episode, just like a, it's a hard thing to describe, but I'm having a neurological episode opening the box and it's like, make sure it's charged before you use it. And then I'm trying to read the directions and I'm like, it on a good day, this would confuse me. So I waited as long as I could for that motherfucker to charge. And then I was like, game over. I called 911. They were wonderful. I had FDNY from two houses show up. Wonderful EMTs. Was taken to Lenox Hill and had a little workup. And they checked my sodium, which is the number one thing to look out for with my underlying health condition. And ended up sodium levels being good. Some other markers. I'm following up with some doctors, whatever. But it was a very scary afternoon. And unfortunately, after texting you and saying, if you don't hear from me, call 911.
I didn't hear from you.
And my phone was on silent. So I was in the ambulance shooting the shit with like teams of people directly outside of my apartment building. They're like, why the fuck does you have a Rhode Island driver's license? And I was like, not the time to drag me, guys. Like, I am one of you. I am a New Yorker. I just don't drive. So it hasn't been a priority to get my New York license. But I've lived here for 800 years. So we're like shooting the shit because unlike last time, I don't feel like I am immediately losing consciousness, which was great. But anyway, so I didn't realize that you were trying to get in touch with me because I was on the ambulance. So then you did, in fact, call 911.
Had a great discussion with a couple of people. Really kind people. Really kind people working that circuit board.
And they were, but you said that they were, in fact, quite
nice. They were great. They were great. I was like, you know what? Because I'm very calm in an emergency. That's a great thing about my personality type. It all stays inside. Like, I'll forget about random things. But in a true emergency, I see clearly, hand is steady, I'm good to go. And so I was like, no, I have a friend. And they're like, is she breathing? I said, I don't know. I don't know. You don't know if she's conscious? I sure don't. And that's kind of why I'm calling you right now.
Well,
so they're very kind. And then I, you know, gave them all your information. And I said, can you tell me if something has already been dispatched? And so they patched me over and they confirmed something had already been dispatched. And I was like, she's good. She made the call. Good for you.
Thank you. I did get in touch with one of my doctors and I was like, I'm not feeling great. And she said, call 911 right now. She said, go to the hospital. If you cannot physically get there, call an ambulance. And I was like, copy that. Because then I knew that if I'm telling a doctor I'm not feeling well and I don't take that, I knew it's one of those things where like when you say, what am I supposed to do? I've given this advice on AG so many times.
Yeah, just better to be safe than sorry.
Better to be safe than sorry. But always. It's very hard when you do not want to deal with something.
Yes,
but sometimes medical crises make you think that you can exist in a state of denial. But if it's a question of time, that's not an ideal, just better to be safe than sorry. And so I ended up being safe. I am sorry. But honestly, this is one of the things. I'm not going to get schmaltzy because I am so tired. And again, you know, because I had a brain episode 2 years ago, I do sometimes like mix up words and phrases and I don't even realize it. So if I'm saying things that you don't like to hear about Shan, I guess just blame the episode. So I'm thankful to be recording this late on Friday after spending a lot of today just trying to sleep everything off. But I do just want to say, I mean, give this lady a follow on Instagram stories. Listen to her podcast. I would say buy the hoodie, but again, that really isn't a way to support us.
It's just other than LOL. Just we can spot you. Other than we can spot you in public. You know, that's it.
But I am. This is one of those things of like the Bravo community really brought us together, and I adore you and respect you. And it's such a little friendship bracelet that I really, and I knew that you would get it with like health stuff, and truly was like, okay, BBDB will be on top of this. Cause when you're in an emergency, you're just, it's bare bones gut instinct.
Yeah.
This is who I know can help me if something happens. And it's not a text that I like to send. And then it's like the period after the fact of like, oh, I feel guilt for sending this, but also
never.
That's just what friendship is. That's just what we have to look out
absolutely.
For each other.
Honored to have you send me a text saying, if you don't hear from me in town, I'm like, you've sent this to the right MFing person. And don't worry about saying the wrong word or the wrong phrase, because that is half of the Real Housewives. They just, I never know what they're going to say. They're like, no, that's two birds in one foot. I'm like, okay, close enough.
You know what? I'm inching ever closer to having my own franchise through Real Housewives See? Of the Andy Schultz mm-hmm. podcast.
Silver lining.
So there are silver linings. I did not get a chance to watch Orange County last night because I was in an emergency room at Lenox Hill texting you and other people some color commentary surrounding me at in the emergency room. And of course, want to again thank the first responders and
they're amazing.
You know, I will be dropping off some donuts and a smile at a couple of firehouses, because you better believe I wrote down some names.
Okay. Good. So, that's nice.
Thank you to Rich and Julio and some other people. You will be seeing me after I get my hair cut this upcoming week. And we have to talk about that PS offline, because I have questions. There's a new phase of my life that we're going to be going into. I don't know quite what to do. So stay tuned. That's also an emergency text. And if you don't hear from me in 20 minutes, just call my salon and say, do not allow her to have.
Don't do it. Whatever she just said to do, don't do it.
Don't do it. I just don't have the capacity for it. I don't have the physical capacity to shape the bang. My hair is just not right for that. But it is right for other things, including listening to me with its top knot realness at this point as I record in a robe. We do need to move on to just a couple thoughts on all things Housewives. So while I didn't watch Orange County last night, I have watched it 2.25 times today. And I told you, ma'am, we are hopping on a podcast. The hoodie is piping hot. I am still technically alive. And the life that that episode gave me, but I do just want to say one little caution, which was that earlier in the day, now I'm not blaming this information having set off a neurological episode, but I was told a couple hours prior to the episode, to the neuro episode kicking in, that something would be happening on that night, on last night's episode. I was told that Katie dropped some info about Shannon maybe almost swerving into John's daughter. So two things. Number one, just selfishly, I was like, oh, I wish I had seen that live and didn't know about this hours in advance. But I also didn't know if it was true and was happening. And two, oh my fucking God. So how did you feel upon receiving? I thought there was a lot to talk about in this episode. I thought that was a big, big, shocking moment.
Huge. It's huge. I mean, everything that's happening this whole season, just everything is ratcheting up against Shannon. Just every time you think it cannot escalate more and cause her more stress, something else happens. And I am kind of concerned for her, just like mental and her health, all of it, because if you just put yourself in that position, your toxic ex-boyfriend and his new flashy girlfriend, loud and flashy girlfriend, trying to win over all of your friends, being in your friend circle, being on TV, holding up her foot so he can look at her, you know, shoe that she's wearing out, talking about his weenus, all of that would already have me at a 10. And then the 75,000. And then that we have videos of you. And then the what's on the videos. I don't know how Shannon's doing it. She looks great, though. She looks great going through hell. Yeah.
She does look great. If there's one takeaway, Shannon looks incredible.
Who was her doctor? I'm already saving up. I got a little curse jar. It's all going towards the whatever kind of facelift she got. It's nice.
You've got to be halfway to 75K by now, right? Little curse jar?
Probably. I you know what? I try not to curse on the pod, but in my real life, I mutter. I'll mutter some stuff every now and then if I'm pushed.
Does HE double hockey stick count? Or are we just saying
around small children? I would say yes.
Okay.
That's the barometer. That's what's changed.
Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padma Lakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity, because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls.
But for Shannon, I don't know what she's going to do. I mean, she just has to. I'm very interested. That's the thing. OC's got me hooked. I remember texting you while I was watching it, like, this is a hell of a show. This is some good TV right now. Even when I was just watching Emily and Gina on the pickleball court start to snipe at each other, I was like, I'm loving this. I was like, I really enjoy this right now. I liked
it. You told me that you liked that moment, and I went back and watched it a third time.
The fight good.
Between Gina and Emily.
Yeah, because I was like, it was like two real friends having a fight. We've all had fights like that, I think, when you have a bestie and your bestie is getting close to someone you can't stand. Ooh, it was good.
Okay, so I was going to ask you more about the Shan of it all, but we will get to the Shan. Let's talk about the Gina and Emily. How do you feel about that conversation and seemingly Emily feeling that Gina has changed because of her friendship with Heather and Gina feeling that Emily has changed because of her friendship with Tamra? What are your thoughts?
I mean, they're both right a little bit. I'm more on Emily's side because I do see the way Gina coddles Heather, the way she breaks to her, bows to her, treats her with this deference that she doesn't have for any other quote unquote real friends, is the way Emily put it. Like, we have a real friendship. Like, I could actually tell her something constructive. I could criticize her. She can criticize me. It's not that way with Heather. She's got like a fear of Heather. And I see that. I think we all do. And I would say Heather probably sees it too. Heather probably just likes it. You know what I mean? But I do see also that Emily is being outspoken, but to me, that's how she's always been. It doesn't seem like her friendship with Tamra has altered her. It's not a friendship where I think there's a power imbalance, but with Heather and Gina, I do see a power imbalance.
I could understand people saying that maybe Tamra brings out some of those aggressive qualities in Emily, but the confusion that I've had on recent AGs...
They definitely talk a lot of crap when they're together.
They do talk a lot of crap when they're together, but like the confusion that I've had on some recent AGs when the question has come up, has Emily changed because of Tamra? I've kind of struggled with that because I've always kind of felt that Emily's just been reactive. So the idea of her being more of a mean girl, obviously she was sharp with Jen in a way that was like, you know, crossing some lines.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem, and this is not an insult, that just didn't seem out of character for Emily to me, or at least I didn't think it was some statement of a larger change in her behavior. So I was at least appreciative during that pickleball court argument. And again, at some point, we need to do some merch of like, no more pickleball, go back to tennis. Like, we've,
you know, no, I have a pickleball issue because everybody's playing it. I haven't played it yet. And I'm like, what am I missing? I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's like tennis and just with a cute name. This is a side conversation. No need for answers. I'll Google on my own /DuckDuckGoIt. But it's just one of those things. Like, it's old before I even got in on it. Like, I can't let it go yet because I need to know more about it.
I deeply in every core and also orifice of my body do not want to understand pickleball. Mm. I don't ever want to get it. It feels like table tennis, which we love, we stand. Like, you know, Forrest Gump forever, but I do not want to ever bring that to like whatever the opposite of Polly Pocket's life is. Like, I don't need a real world Barbie movie come to life of pickleball courts happening. I think it's a great dream and idea. And if you are finding excellent cardio activity or at least like happy wellness from pickleball,
that's what it's about.
I love that journey for you. And I love pickles. I'm a sour pickle gal. I'm a kosher pickle gal.
I love a pickle.
I'd rather nosh on a pickle than use a pickleball paddle, which again feels like this weird, warped, sad version. It feels like tennis trying to be patriotic, and I don't need that.
Oh, okay.
Wimbledon pickleball is not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need it. But if you find joy and happiness in pickleball, more power to you. But there was something that I appreciated about the moment between Gina and Emily, where Emily was like, you cannot tell me I'm more aggressive than I normally am, she says somewhat aggressively. And Gina's like, yeah, no, I agree. You've always been aggressive. So I appreciated that, at least that, like, you know, but then the response is, why don't we work on that? And I don't have really an answer for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they needed to get some stuff off their chest. It's one of those situations where they just needed to blow off that steam and they'll be fine. But the way that Emily got so mad, I knew they were in for it. When Al's like, Shannon, what are you doing? And Shannon starts telling her, oh, you know, Gina was saying this, you know, Gina was saying that. And you could just see Emily's like, ree, ree, ree. She stopped blinking. She started getting real mad. So, and then Emily's like me. I get like that. When I'm seriously mad, like, everybody knows it. You can't hide it. She was just stewing. She was just thinking, like, how am I going to say this without saying something I don't, you know, can't take back? Whoo! It was great. Loved it.
And also, Emily candy cries. And as a candy crier, I cry when I'm mad. I cry when I'm like, I don't know how to express this, but I'm really fucking hot right now. And I appreciated that in that moment, she was like really letting go. And then poor sweet Gina trying to stomp off, but like the gate or something.
And the sprinkler was on.
And the sprinkler was on. Like,
but that's what they needed. But they needed that because that brought them back together. So the sprinklers knew what they had to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily really argue with friends, to be honest. There have been a spare number of occasions where that's happened, really, really genuinely spare. But that's also because I'm not existing in an on-camera universe where everyone has a take. It could not be more high stress. And I'm surrounded by, like, colleagues behind the camera who are encouraging, quote-unquote, honest conversation. So I can't really measure their friendship according to IRL standards, except to say that they really do genuinely have a friendship IRL. They can consider each other sisters. I just watched the little after show. They're just talking about their love. And it's, you know, you can tell that there's just some stuff here. I think a lot of it caused by the simple fact of filming. And also, you know, Gina's dealing with a lot right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I did, I mean, there's so many things about, like, this show that I find are relatable. I do agree, like, in adult life, you never have fights like that, or I don't anyway. But that kind of fighting reminded me of, like, high school, when it's just, like, this pure friendship you have, and you have, you know, issues, you just need to work it out. But, yeah, these women are in situations that are not normal. And so you just have to always keep that in mind, which we do.
And there is something kind of interesting, because I think one of the stronger or at least more vocal arguments against Gina and Emily when they first joined the show was that they were either too boring or too normal. So I feel like what we're watching now is women who have made a home for themselves on TV, have become really successful. You know, they've been on the franchise for a solid number of seasons. And that normalcy has been adjusted somewhat, right? Just because of the nature of being inside the Bravo universe for so long. But also, they, to me, still feel extremely grounded. So it's like, how much of the tension here is just tension that would have come out maybe in a different way, in a calmer way, but could have come out regardless of being on TV? Or is this just really something that was like, you know, the pot was just fucking bubbling because of the stress and tension of just being on this show?
I don't know, but I'll say this. You know, you just talked about them when they were first brought on the show. People thought they'd be too boring or too normal. I am so glad that they are on the show. I cannot fathom. I would not be able to watch that show if Emily, especially Emily, but Emily and Gina were not on there as sort of like a relatable barometer, because you're going to start the episode with Heather Dubrow wearing like a $2,300 poop-colored sweater. Or maybe that was the last episode. I just watched two back-to-back.
You did.
And I need to see a woman eating Del Taco in a truck to balance that out. That's personally what I need. I need a woman to laugh about her husband and say, I won't eat in the truck, and then get in the truck and order Del Taco. That I like that.
Was it Del Taco? I thought they said it was Jack
in the Box. Oh, it was Jack in the Box. I'm high. But the tacos are the most popular item. at Jack in the Box. That's why I was thinking Del Taco.
Wait, because I've never heard of Del Taco, I don't think. But Jack in the Box, I didn't know that was a taco place. I don't know why I thought it was like a burger place. So I was fascinated by the fact that they all seem to be eating tacos.
Yes. I'm a New Englander. Sorry, Jack in the Box. So Jack in the Box also, you're going to like this. Mm. Fun fact. Jack in the Box is where Ben Affleck went, where Jennifer Garner sweetly drove him to on his way to rehab. In all the paparazzi photos, he's eating Jack in the Box in the back of the car.
And trigger warning for those of us who received the announcement this
week. We haven't even talked about this yet.
We haven't even talked about it. So I guess, you know, I don't want to get emotional, okay? But, and I don't want this to be a pickleball argument.
It won't.
But I do just want to say that there are some of us who, even in a on a stretcher inside of a extraordinarily busy emergency room on the Upper East Side on a Thursday late afternoon, early evening, was doing my hourly New York Weather on the Ones Google of any announcements, updates on all things Bennifer, may its memory be a blessing, because I am deeply invested. What are you about to tell me? What happened now?
Nothing.
Are they back together?
I'm just letting you, what? I'm letting you go through what you need to go through right now.
I just want to say it's been a tough week for love. Has it not?
Oh, it
Why
has.
Why didn't they get a prenup? I mean, don't understand. I mean, I do, but.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, when the news broke, if only there had been signs. If only someone had warned her / Jane Fonda did.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's just so many things, those crazy kids. Where do you think it went wrong? Because I know where it went wrong.
Here's my question for you.
What?
Do you believe in love after love after love after love? Because I feel like you might
you
need
believe.
To listen to some... you might need to mix in some Cher, okay, into that Bennifer energy. Because what I'm hearing... is that a woman who was on her journey and found, you know, it's like sometimes you don't know that something's, you know, not going to work out until you try again. And
oh, you
she
don't?
Tried. You don't.
Okay.
Do you not circle back? I circle back. Maybe I don't actually contact them, but I circle back every fucking 15 minutes in my head of like people and whatever, you know, because that's easier than meeting others. You just go into the remix era of the dating lifestyle.
Mm-mm.
Did you not say, were you not the motherfucker that told me that he was chasing her?
Like he was allegedly.
Woman,
I mean, we can't know. We can't know. But that's allegedly what it was, that he pressed so hard to get back with her and love bombed her. And you're the love of my life. And we were always meant to be together. And here's this book. And she said, whole world, look at all the words he's ever written to me. I'm just going to leave it here for everyone to thumb through. I'm going to dance for you at our wedding. Gonna make a movie. I'm gonna make a documentary about making the movie. I'm gonna dance
he produced,
to the hummingbird.
He produced that documentary about her Amazon Prime special cinematic theatrical experience.
And that's gonna be on his IMDb forever. And that's something that he has to live with.
But you know what? Does he? Because he's just, I just don't understand a guy. Here's my problem. People criticize J-Lo and they're like, oh, she's just like living in a fairy tale or whatever and she's chasing love. All that's fine and good. But what do you think this motherfucker's doing? She's being more honest. He's the one pretending to be a different person saying, just love me again. I promise you I'll be here forever. And then Page Six is reporting that the you know, remix was over during the honeymoon. So
because
he was closed off, he didn't realize who Jennifer Lopez
so,
was.
You know,
you had 20 years. You had 20 years to figure it out.
There's a proverb. There's a proverb I'm reminded of right now. I think
Bless
it's where
it
a frog, the frog gives a scorpion a ride across a river. And
that's not real. What album is that from?
Yes, it is real.
Is
and
that
the frog,
the,
the frog gets stung at the end. And he's like, how dare you sting me? I gave you a ride across the river. That's what I imagine a frog sounds like. And the scorpion says, you knew what I was when you gave me the ride. And that's what I say to J-Lo. How did you not know who this man was? He already embarrassed you 20 years ago.
What she knew is what he knew, which was these people had a story that wasn't yet done. And if you had the love, listen, everybody's got, or maybe they don't, and that's all fine and good. But some people feel like they have a love of their life who might be someone who didn't work out and get away. And you just kind of wish, especially if it wasn't necessarily her choice, that the relationship ended in the first place because of allegations about him being a piece of shit.
Going down on a stripper.
All right. Okay. Listen, things that happen in Canada stay in Canada. Okay. Or Minnesota, whatever it was. The upper
deep
areas.
In the passenger seat.
Okay. So what she remembered, and I'm sure they still had love for each other. And then this person who you loved, you just had a relationship that didn't work out because A-Rod started watching Peacock. He got his, you know, subscription trial run started and said, Madison looks great. And so this person who you loved, who you probably stayed friendly with or acquaintances or whatever on the up and up, reaches out and they're dangling the carrot of, remember us? Remember how that used to be? Well, guess what? The problems that you had with me prior with my behavior have been resolved.
I'm so perfect now.
I don't think he said he was perfect, but he probably did say something along the lines of like,
look, that man is a wordsmith.
He ended emails, and I think I'm getting this wrong, and you can blame it on your brain, my brain, not your brain. Your brain is good. My brain's the one that's a little fucked up. But he ended emails with, I'm not going anywhere. When they started talking again.
This motherfucker,
I know, it's not her fault that she was taken.
It's not. Okay.
It's just not. It's just genuinely not. Suffice it to say, who among us has not been burned? And sometimes when someone shows you who they are, we just need a couple more times.
Look, no, and here's the thing. I think it's very sweet. It's all very sweet. And I'm definitely not saying like, oh, I blamed. Like, it takes two. It's two people here. I do not blame Jennifer. Like, this is their life. They're going to be fine. They have a lot of money, but they're also dumb. And that's just the facts.
I strongly rebuke that. I think that sometimes people make choices and have lessons. And unfortunately, theirs is very much in the public eye. I just, as someone, again, from New England, so I'm not saying Ben Affleck, or I probably already did say that, to go fuck yourself. Like, I still do enjoy him, and I love J-Lo, obviously. But, you know, he told her he changed. She took his word for it. His behavior seemed to show promise. And then after he got what he wanted, he probably got bored, or maybe he woke up a little more.
It's probably the chase. The chase is very exciting.
Yes. And straight men are a pox on our society.
Pox.
And this is just another example of it. And yes, even though I don't know sports, I highly, you know, support the Red Sox and all of their endeavors, even though I literally know absolutely nothing about them. And I am a big fan of Dunkin' Donuts in theory, and, you know, thought Ben's sports bowl ads were like unfucking believable, so funny. I could watch them again. I probably will. That will be my lullaby tonight. That is what it means to be a proud New Englander, Massachusetts adjacent. One could argue Rhode Islanders are even more Massachusetts-esque than Massachusetts itself, but I didn't say that, except I absolutely just did. I just want to say, you know, she's on a journey. It didn't work out, and I feel for her. I feel for her, because you know this has to be devastating. And poor Jennifer Garner has to pick up the pieces for all of us.
True. Very true. Poor Jennifer Garner. But I mean, I think Jennifer Garner, it's like she knows how to handle this situation at this point. She's been through it.
I mean, if you are the ex in all of this, and also sort of his ex-wife / guidance counselor, at a certain point, this is also the difficulty, is like, when you see someone who's like going down a path, when you're like, that's probably not a great idea. And I'm not saying for her to talk to Ben, I'm saying her to talk to Jen. Two Jens just getting together and being like, listen, I'm sure he's told you some shit, and I wish him the best, and I want him to be happy because I want our kids to see a happy dad. But like, be careful. You know, Jen Garner was like, just be careful, because I know there's an awful lot to say about Jennifer Lynn Lopez, Affleck Lopez again, and, you know, having some journeys in life. And I, again, could not more, you know, highly support her in all of her daily endeavors. And Jennifer Garner, I'm sure, was just thinking to herself, I'm going to be here for whatever happens. What?
Here's my thing.
What?
You know, I guess the reason really why I say dumb is because to merge your assets. You know, beyond the romance of it, a marriage is a merger. It's mergers and acquisitions. And so to merge yourself without a prenup at that income level when you have children and you've already been through the ringer with this person and it's 20 years later and you have more to lose and you go buy like one of the most expensive houses in Los Angeles. What was it, like $60 million, $55 million, something like that? And now they've got to try to sell it.
They're trying to sell for like $68 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's relatable. So that it's like, why get married? They hadn't even been dating again that long. It's this obsession with the marriage that's so surprising to me. It's like, that's a really serious thing. You can't just bang for a while and just see how it goes.
I mean, have you not seen the end of Notting Hill? Spoiler alert. Like, sometimes you just want to be with that person. He was just standing in a bookshop asking the girl to like marry him or whatever.
Very different.
I don't know what the line is.
Very different. Ben Affleck. And the very sheepish British boy from Notting Hill are very different characters. One is a Labrador retriever. Mm. The other one is just a scoundrel on the prowl. So, no.
You know, in the words of Bob Barker, always get your pet spayed and neutered.
Spayed okay? and neutered, baby.
That's the takeaway. We yes. need to shift back to
Orange. Fine. We could talk about that for 2 hours. We could talk about that.
But I need to take a second to laugh.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today.
Okay, wait. So circling back. So I do need to talk to you. I think the episode was named The Gloves Are Off.
Yes, it was.
So we need to circle back to those fucking gloves. So obviously the video is the, oh my God, WTF moment from the episode. It opened up a lot of doors for me as far as like what the fuck is actually going on. What was your reaction in that moment and in Alexis saying essentially, I'm only talking about this because I got a phone call from Johnny J that really upset me an awful lot?
So my very first thought was how convenient, you know, that all of this is on camera, how very convenient. And secondly, it really was for Shannon. And I started thinking about, is California a one party or a two party state? You know, what's legal for them to release? And then secondly, if she was as drunk as she is supposed to have been, how inappropriate to release footage of someone that inebriated. Like, it just seems like, how are you going to judge somebody on what they did when they were that drunk? They're already paying a price for it. And is it even legal for him to release it? You know? So let me look that up real quick. I'll find out. I think it's a two-party state.
I don't know that two-party state, one-party state stuff applies because he wasn't secretly recording her without her knowledge. I would assume that she was aware that he had security cameras. I think the bigger question is, why did he hold on to that footage?
Because because he's a dick.
Right. And also, if this was the night of the DUI, I'm very confused as to John's behavior that night. From what I believe I understood from Shannon, he sort of like hid inside of his house. So if some sort of event happened prior to that night, did he share that footage with authorities? Did anyone ask him about
that's my question too. Why wouldn't you have turned it over right when it was, you know, was all happening? Was that to protect her or is that just to hold it for years later, whenever it is that you want to use it?
Yeah. I mean, many months after the fact. And when did Alexis find out about this? Because she's obviously been, you know, hinting that there was something lurking that would ruin her. So I'm very confused by the point in one of her confessionals where the producer is essentially asking her, why are the gloves coming off? What did Shannon do? She doesn't have a response to it, which brings me back to a hypothesis from the AG right prior to this, when I had no idea of what this alleged video showed, but the conversation of like, What did Shannon do that you were trying to stop with this video? And what is this video supposed to do? Is it your attempt to shut her up more? Why would this video do that? All it's serving to do is make you guys look vengeful.
Yeah, it's just to cause pain. It's like, if she doesn't stop, we're going to show the whole world this thing. That's the thing. It's punishment. It is a if this then that punishment. You know, don't mess with it. You better pay Johnny $75,000 he's asking you for. And I thought Shannon made a really good point because, you know, Emily was very clear saying, look, him coming out and saying you owe him $75,000 and showing the wire transfers does make it seem like you've been lying to us the whole time saying he never paid for anything. Because we've all been told that. The viewers have been on this ride too. John's so cheap, he doesn't pay for anything. I'm always buying everything. But then she gives that example of like, well, here's a tangible example. We went on a vacation. I paid for $10,000 worth of hotel rooms. He didn't even talk about it. He didn't even say like, let's split it, according to her. Let's split it or I'll pay for that, anything. And she would just eat costs like that regularly. So to her, him giving her this money is his way of being like, hey, you usually buy dinner. Here's something for this thing you're about to do, facelift, what have you. That made sense to me because in a relationship, you're not keeping a spreadsheet, but it seems like she should have been. And she's like, I could go back and check my credit cards. I'm like, do it. Give it to a forensic accountant and say, and have him circle how many times things were charged that were either something for his boat, a trip that you took together, whatever, and put it in a big pile and say, here's how much I spent in our relationship.
I think the difficulty for Shannon, she mentions that there wasn't like a promissory note used during this. I don't know if it was a gift or loan or whatever. I think the difficulty for Shannon is the likelihood, I think, is pretty high that she was covering more of the costs involved in their relationship than he was. He did not seem to be someone who offered to pay for his own flights, who offered to pay for his hotels. There was an expectation she was going to cover it, which is all fine and good. And I can completely understand. The difficulty, though, is if she was a little, you know, cash poor because of checks or things relating to production not coming in because they're paid in increments and something was delayed or whatever else. And she said, you know, can you spot me or can you give me, which are two very important, you know, we need to clarify the language here, the money. And he sends her a specific amount because she needed that money to cover odds and ends. That's an easier thing for him to argue was not a gift because you can see like a transfer of income versus her saying after the fact, which she hasn't. She kind of just, I think, said this is the cost of doing business in a relationship, that I ate a lot of these costs because I thought we were going to be together forever and now we're not. He's just taking a different strategy and it wasn't a hotel room that he's asking for payment back for. It was a seeming literal wire transfer or a check. That's a harder thing, I think, to argue about, or at least it's an easier thing to understand, is a transfer of money versus a question of who's paying for a hotel room and what was your conversation about that. Because if he's not asking her for money because he knows he essentially has a sugar mama, he's depending on this person to support his interest in fame, celebrity, a certain quality of life, all these things that other members of the cast were bitching about him, including especially Tamra, until she fell out most recently with Shan and is doing her very best to paint him as like sweet little Johnny J, just here for a fun little time. It's harder to argue that this wasn't some sort of transaction when there's a literal receipt of that. And I think for Shannon, she's probably bearing the cost of the literal cost of their relationship, which she probably understood prior was like, well, this is just a toxic relationship and she's covering the cost. And she was so in love with this man that she thought that was just maybe part of their relationship, was that she had more money and access than he did. But that doesn't mean he necessarily has to pay her back. And I think this is the difficulty, you know, it's really tough. I really genuinely feel for her.
But it was heartbreaking, though, for her to say that she tried to come to a settlement. And he said, I will not accept a penny under $75,000 full, and you have to come up with a payment plan. She's like, I'm not paying my ex-boyfriend like a monthly payment plan rate. I get it. I mean, he's the neither. And this is the whole thing. This is so toxic. And this does remind me of Jersey a little bit with like Louis and his ex Vanessa, like the hate, the love and hate, the line between them. We all know it's a fine line, but just to walk away and let somebody be. And I don't, it seems like Johnny douchebags, you know, Jansen, like this is their whole storyline is just picking the flesh off of this woman who's already down. And I loved Emily's quote. I wrote it down. I said, oh, Emily, LOL. It was like, they can just go off into the sunset. They don't need to drag Shannon's lifeless corpse along with them. And I completely agree. It's coming from every angle it can possibly come from. Alexis is absolutely insufferable. I love that she's annoying everybody because she's annoying me. And, you know, for her to just be talking about sex and Johnny's actually great. You know, a player isn't a player anymore if he finds the right girl. I'm like, oh God, just kick her out. Just let her shoulder roll out of the car. She'll be okay. She'll bounce. Oh, it was terrible.
I just don't understand what it is that they're looking for aside from humiliating her.
Humiliation and pain.
Right. And then in the preview, I forget if it was a part of the mid-season trailer, which P.S. was the single best mid-season trailer that Bravo has done of recent. And they've had some good ones. I just thought it was like unfucking believable. I forget if it was in the mid-season trailer or in the scene for next week, but there's some conversation between Shannon, whomever, of like, I won't lie. They're saying that they will stop the lawsuit or whatever if I say something on their behalf, but I won't lie. Wow. And I don't know how much this video is a part of that. Like, I think that they are looking for Shannon to do whatever she needs, sacrifice herself to restore his good name.
Yeah.
But it's an impossible task. Like, we don't like him so much more than we did even before. I wasn't
Correct.
Really
he's
thinking
making
of
worse.
Him that much.
It's like he's holding her arm behind her back and twisting it and saying, make me look like a good guy. And we're watching it happen. It's like, hey, Johnny, that's not how that works. Like, we're all watching this. You're torturing her until she tries to make you look good. Like, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Like, what's he thinking there?
It makes me feel like they are not actually looking for that because they know it's not possible. Their goal is not realistic, and I don't even really understand if they have one. It feels like the goal is just attention. They need attention to be focused on John somehow being seen as the victim while he pursues her as aggressively as humanly possible. And the fact that he's now going to show up, again, this is from the mid-season trailer, at like the finale or something, and is going to be seen filming. It's so gross and so dirty. And I do also just want to add that no one is saying that this video, or at least I'm not saying that this video of Shannon potentially, possibly nearly missing, hitting and injuring someone, let alone his daughter, is very shocking to me, extremely concerning and upsetting. So I'm not taking away from that. I'm also not taking away from anger he may have felt in that moment of like the choice that my estranged girlfriend or something made could have hurt my child. But that doesn't seem to be what he's concerned with here. He's really, really focusing on himself. And this might be especially shitty of me. So like blame it on the blame. Blame.
There we
it
go. The brain. That's exactly what you needed to say.
Words are so fun. Friday at bajillion o'clock. But I feel like he's almost like manipulating a sense of upset. I would assume he surely felt as a parent in order to fuck with Shannon more. Like, don't you want to protect your child from this? Like, why are you now using your kid to say that Shannon is a piece of shit? At least to me, he's doing this in a really unsuccessful way. He's not having a conversation with Alexis where he's saying this terrible thing happened and help me deal with it, new love of my life. What he's saying is this is a weapon in my arsenal and I'm going to drop it.
You better act right.
And it's to me, he's obsessed. Like, I don't know.
I agree. It's scary. I don't like it.
No, but like, genuinely, this is concerning to me as a person, as a viewer, as a woman. Like, I'm seeing this man behave in a way that I think, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. And again, blame it on the brain. Like, it feels dangerous to me. It feels like they are crossing lines with how this is going. And I don't like it. I feel like this woman is in a very vulnerable place.
I agree.
And I do not appreciate what is being done here for entertainment or obsession or some combination of the two.
Yeah, I mean, that's why to me, visually, I had that, you know, imagination of like a kid, you know, holding another kid's arm behind their back, like, say, uncle, like, break, because that's what it feels like watching this. It's you're seeing somebody really push someone who's already having a very difficult time. And that's why I was really happy to see that final, you know, dinner between Tamara and Shannon happen and go the way that it went. What, you know where I'm going?
No,
here?
Continue your thought. I really
don't. Because Tamara ended in that being like actually kind, actually feeling for her friend, like seeing that this was going a bit far. I think, you didn't think that they connected when Shannon told her, like, he's suing me. Like, she told her all the details and they hugged. Mm-hmm. You didn't feel like that was, you didn't know?
I just realized that we've been recording for a minute and a half, so we are going to shift on over. This is a little bit of a to be continued thought that too, and I saw the like look in her eyes. She looked, Tamara looked emotional. She was teary, and I thought to myself, oh, Tamara gets it, and she's like, they're having a moment. But
yeah.
And I thought about that fucking video more and the timing, and I thought to myself, no, this is actually not on the up and up. So I cannot believe this is truly a Bravo themed to be continued, but we need to shift over because this is going to be a 17 hour episode.
Okay.
Let's shift over to part too, because I do need to give you, I don't even know if it's a conspiracy, but I do have some judgment. I have some Tamara judgment.
I want to hear it.
Okay, so let's shift over. Part two, yada yada, available now.